to the UK. Our correspondent is Seamus Kearney in Lyon. And Seamus, really awful to be seeing what the people of Ukraine are going through going into winter with this very sustained attack on its energy grid. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Catherine. Not the UK, Europe. Hopefully I'm covering Europe this week, not the UK. Lots happening there in the UK, though. But yes, here in Europe, the headlines, you know, back in Ukraine, this war, just, you know, months and months of war. And, you know, it's true that people start to become wary of the conflict, you know, where it's in the news all the time, but we just keep turning back to that conflict, don't we? Especially when we see civilians, the impact on civilians and the images coming out now. Actually, Ukraine this weekend marking the 90th anniversary of a famine that killed millions of Ukrainians under Soviet leader Stalin. And the Ukrainian president there this weekend, Volodymyr Zelensky, vowing that his country is going to continue to resist Russian airstrikes. And just a quote from him there on in a video posted online: once they tried to destroy us with hunger, now they're trying with darkness and cold. We will not be broken, he said. And of course, yes, freezing weather is setting in here. Ukraine is actually now racing against the clock, trying to repair this damage to electricity, to water infrastructure right across the country. And that relentless wave of Russian missile strikes, the Kremlin confirming actually that it was targeting these energy sites. So this bombing, it's cut off power and water to millions of people, condemned by Ukraine, by its allies, as war crimes. The accusation that Russia's deliberately aimed, this campaign's aimed at causing suffering among civilians. I mean, you know, this is just absolutely horrendous when you think about this accusation, the Kremlin, you know, not responding to that. But foreign help, expertise coming into the country as we speak, over recent days as well, trying to repair that damage. So power actually tonight slowly being restored to many of those areas affected. But the reports coming out of Ukraine that millions are still facing regular blackouts, have no power at all, and also those water shortages as well. And actually, Catherine, several key nuclear plants had to be shut down on Friday, now back online. But that was an unprecedented move to close down those plants, raising further concern about the safety of those nuclear reactors when we see energy sites targeted by Russia. And actually, some reports also, Catherine, coming out tonight saying that there are indications that Russia may be about to withdraw from what's Europe's largest nuclear plant. That's Zaporizhia. That was seized by Russian soldiers back in March. And of course, that's a plant we've talked about before, where there's been a lot of shelling and damage to equipment there as well. So just lots of concern about, you know, the fact that Russia is targeting energy sites. And we have these warnings still that Russia may try to inflict further pain on civilians as winter conditions set in. And this warning now for people to stock up on food, water, warm clothing as much as they can. And EU countries just over the past few days, among those trying to quickly organise delivery of hundreds of transformers, generators, for example, just to make sure that as winter sets and if things get worse, that there is help at hand.
One analyst I was reading over the weekend talking about this as a strategy, and potentially a strategy to cause a refugee wave with the political and other ramifications that might have. But what we are hearing at the moment is, I guess coming from authorities in Ukraine, is very much a one of what? Defiance, and we'll do what we need to do.
That's right. And it's interesting because what you said there about this possible wave of Ukrainians, you know, crossing borders into Europe, that actually was brought up this weekend by some EU leaders who gathered in Kyiv. And I think you're right. I think the assessment is that, you know, President Putin has suffered these defeats on the battlefield, and he wants things to change. And you know, perhaps he's looking at changing what's happening with the population, with civilians, trying to put pressure on the Ukrainian authorities in that way. But these EU leaders, they were gathered in Kyiv actually to commemorate this famine, the Holodomor famine, back in 1932-33. That was an act that Kyiv says was a deliberate attempt at genocide by Soviet leader Stalin. And actually today, Kyiv accusing Russia of trying to revive that campaign of genocide. The leaders there this weekend in Kyiv, from Belgium, the prime minister there, from Poland, Hungary, Lithuania as well. And they were there for a summit, actually, to launch a new initiative to help developing countries facing famine and drought. So lots happening on the ground, you know, even amid the water shortages, the blackouts. We have Ukraine thinking about these developing countries not getting grain from Ukraine. We had the presidents of Germany and France and the head of the European Commission also speaking to the summit in Kyiv by video. President Macron, just a quote from him there, saying that the most vulnerable countries must not pay the price of a war they did not want. And so what we have with this project, Ukraine and its allies pledging an initial figure of about $150 million, and that's to export shiploads of grain to these vulnerable countries, including Sudan, Yemen, Somalia, Ethiopia, just to name a few. This is called Grain from Ukraine. This is the initiative. And it's actually going to make use of that UN brokered deal that's allowing the export of grain from the Black Sea ports. In previous weeks, we actually had the Kremlin accusing the West of not supplying countries most in need with that grain. So now we have more than 20 countries taking part in this, the European Union as well. They've signed up for this pledge. 60 ships set to help in delivering the first batches of grain. And of course, you know, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and also that earlier blockade of Ukrainian ports, really blamed for this global food crisis. We're now seeing, I see some figures there, they say the world supply of grain estimated to have been cut by up to 10 million tons by this conflict. So these attempts trying to make sure that the impact of the war is not felt in countries like in Africa, really struggling to feed their populations.
Now, in Italy, and a shock and deadly landslide hits one of the holiday islands.
Yeah, and actually, as we speak, Catherine, rescuers still searching for about a dozen people missing after this landslide. This is the southern holiday island of Ischia near Naples. Densely populated, this island. It's volcanic, very popular with holiday makers, famous for pristine beaches and thermal pools. The deaths of three people, including a child, so far confirmed, but that figure expected to rise. This was torrential rain causing a mountainside to give way, unleashing this wave of mud and debris that totally devastated a town below. So lots of cars swept into the sea, many homes just absolutely swept away. The image is absolutely incredible coming out from this island, lots of mud and debris. And as we talk about the rescue, lots of anger as well, it has to be pointed out. Many people expressing anger in the media, saying that many of the homes built illegally there on that island, lots of illegal construction, deforestation contributing to disasters like this. For example, the trees torn down to make way for this illegal construction, vegetation that would normally keep the ground stable there on that island. Also, reports there saying that the last time they had a geological survey there 20 years ago, and actually promises made by the authorities over the years. In fact, there was a landslide on this island back in 2009. A teenage girl was killed, and that many people affected by that as well. There was an earthquake about 5 years ago also on the island, further destabilizing the land, and residents there absolutely livid, saying that authorities promised they would do a new geological survey, that they would try to stabilize the land to address these problems of the trees disappearing. But they say, you know, absolutely nothing done. So we had the Italian government there tonight holding an emergency cabinet meeting, promising an investigation to try to answer some of these concerns by residents, and also to talk about some immediate relief to those who have lost their homes. But just absolutely devastating to see these images coming out of Italy.
Thank you very much, as always. That is our Europe correspondent, Seamus Kearney, speaking to us there from Lyon.